Are you looking for a new basketball shoe? If so, this is Gary Parrish here to tell you that the New Balance 2-Way V4 features the groundbreaking use of fuel cell technology with fresh foam, creating the ultimate combination of rebound and cushioning. Every step feels explosive and dynamic, and the upper construction features a lightweight textile that's supportive and breathable. So whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the 2-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the 2-Way at newbalance.com. Hey there, it's Gary Parrish. Welcome back to the CBS Sports Eye on College Basketball Podcast, where we sometimes discuss camel fighting. Leaky Black, Matt Norlander is here with me. And as previously noted, in addition to normal episodes of the Eye on College Basketball Podcast, we're also, in the coming weeks and months, going to be doing short episodes that focus on individual prospects in the 2020 NBA draft. We've already done LaMelo Ball, Obi Toppin, Anthony Edwards. So if you missed them and you're interested, go find them. And now we turn our attention to James Wiseman. He's a 7'1" center with a 7'5" wingspan. He was the top-ranked player in the class of 2019, according to 24/7 Sports. As you probably know, James Wiseman was the biggest piece of Penny Hardaway's top-ranked recruiting class at Memphis. He enrolled, but then quickly encountered NCAA issues because his mother accepted what was deemed to be impermissible benefits. So Memphis was instructed to hold him out to start the 2019-20 season, but Memphis still played him 3 games in defiance of the NCAA before sitting him down. So the NCAA responded with a 12-game suspension, 9 games for the impermissible benefit his mother accepted, 3 games to account for the 3 games Memphis played him when Memphis should not have played him. Just a mess. That's still a mess because Memphis is now in the middle of an active NCAA case that's tied to all this. Either way, Wiseman was scheduled to rejoin the Tigers on January 12th at South Florida. But then, the week before Christmas, he abruptly and surprisingly quit the team. Dude just quit. So the college sample size is only 3 games. But in fairness, James Wiseman was overwhelming in those 3 games. He averaged 19.7 points, 10.7 rebounds, and 3.0 blocks in 23 minutes per contest. He was, for the most part, a monster. And now he's in the 2020 NBA draft. So, Norlander, I have James Wiseman 4th on my big board. You have him number 3. So let's start here. Why do you like James Wiseman slightly more than I like James Wiseman? Is it because he didn't quit on your alma mater, or is there some other reason?
You just called him a monster? You just said this dude was, for the most part, a monster when he played against the likes of South Carolina State and Illinois Chicago.
Well, I would encourage you to get on the phone with somebody who plays for South Carolina State and ask them whether they think he was a monster, because he looked like one.
I'm sure he was. I'm sure he had monstrous qualities against South Carolina State, a team that finished 339th in KenPom last season, to be
guess who pushed him down that rankings in part?
Exactly.
James Wiseman.
To be fair, Wiseman also, his final game of his college career came at the Moda Center in the Rose City of Portland when Memphis lost 82-74 against a quality Oregon team. And in that game, Wiseman had 14 points, 12 boards, and 3 fouls. So, yes, I've got him 1 spot above you. So I think I mentioned on a previous podcast when we did our draft profiles. To me, Wiseman is probably going to be right there along with Toppin in terms of probably team need as much as any player that we'd look at that's in the top 6 or 7. He is a center. He's a center that wants to be a power forward. And I do actually think that he is going to be able to provide teams with good shooting ability. Not shot creation, but good shooting ability from 15, 17, 20 feet. We'll see if he can actually grow into be a player who can be a true stretch five and step out and give you 1 or 2 threes a game. I don't know if that can happen or not. Obviously, the teams that are going to be tasked with putting them high on their big boards, that's the kind of stuff that you need to know if you're going to draft James Wiseman. He is a fascinating case because who is the parallel, right? Even though the positions aren't exactly the same, GP, who is the parallel? Who is a parallel, an obvious parallel right now in the NBA for James Wiseman?
You tell me, Norlander.
It's Michael Porter Jr. Barely played any games in college. He was an awesome recruit coming out of high school. Big man. Now he had a limited game set because of his injury in college. He dropped in the draft. He's not Wiseman's not going to drop the way that Porter did, but certainly a big man in contention to be, if not regarded as the best player in his high school class. And coming into the draft, there was some skepticism about what kind of player he would be. Again, Wiseman's not going to fall the way that Porter did, but I do think there is a parallel in terms of situations with each of these players. So I only bring that up to say Wiseman's lack of game inventory at the college level, if it's used against him, I think that's understandable, but I'm not sure that would necessarily be advisable because Wiseman's skill set doesn't run right alongside Porter's. But if you told me, and this is why I have him so highly ranked on my board, if you told me that Wiseman was turned into the best, you know, rookie his first season, I'd absolutely believe it. And I do think that one is going to be one reason why that he is not going to drop the way that Porter did. Porter did for two reasons. One, injury concerns, and two, I think just the intel on him and him being a teammate and some of the stuff on a personal level, I also think that actually affected where Porter went. That's not going to be the case with Wiseman, although he will get dings, as you said, because he did outright quit on his team.
Okay. Michael Porter dropped for one reason, because of his back. If not for real medical red flags, he would have been a top five pick. The talent was undeniable, and you're watching that right now in the bubble at Disney World. Michael Porter is a wing. We're calling them both big men because they're both very tall. Right. Michael Porter is an actual wing. James Wiseman is a center and only a center. He might be a center who can someday step away from the basket and knock down three-pointers the way, I'm not comparing them as players. They're nothing alike. But like Mark Gasol never shot threes for like much of his career in the NBA. And then David Fizdale took over in Memphis and he just said, listen, the way we play basketball now, you've got to take those shots. And so now Mark Gasol is somebody who can stand at the top of the arc and knock down that open jumper if you need him to. He doesn't do it as often as maybe you'd prefer. He doesn't do it as well as everybody in the world, but he can do that. And I do think James Wiseman can someday do that, but this is at least one of the issues with James Wiseman. These days in the NBA, there are lots of guys who can play multiple positions. I don't think he's that. I think he's a center, and he is a center in a time where that position has never been less valuable. And so I, like you, will not be surprised if James Wiseman is the best player from this draft. And he might go number one in this draft. He's certainly in the conversation to do it. And I do think it'll come down to what team wins the lottery when that is held. But the stuff working against him is, yeah, what's he made of? Like, why did he quit?
Yeah,
Memphis, and he is only he only plays one position, and it's the least valuable position in basketball right now.
I think I'm more flexible than you on Wiseman's ability to be hybrid-ish as a 4 or 5. He definitely is a 5. Don't get me wrong on that. But I do like his really good athleticism, great at getting end to end on the floor. I do think that he has good to great potential at being very strong defensively at the NBA level. It's just a matter of who drafts him and how he's used. And then one thing that I think we need to discuss briefly on the pod here on this short profile pod is that there was something that dogged Wiseman for his final 2 years of high school. And that is he was always obviously great, but that was not evident on an every game basis. He straight up was, I don't want to say he outright took games off, but you could watch James Wiseman play two games on the grassroots circuit in the same day, and the person you saw play at 1 o'clock in the afternoon was not the same player that you saw play at 8:30 that night.
No, that's right. I remember, obviously, because of where I live, I've talked about James Wiseman a lot, and I remember saying this in advance of him even committing to Memphis, that over the years, you and I have been fortunate enough to go out on the grassroots circuit and see the next great bigs, whether it's Jahlil Okafor or DeAndre Ayton, Marvin Bagley, you name them.
Yeah.
And whether you just trust your eyeballs or you actually look at the box scores, like Marvin Bagley was a monster basically every time out. Like he was grabbing rebounds and dunking ball every time. Ayton was a monster basically every time out. James Wiseman, you're exactly right. Like sometimes you go, oh my God, that guy's going to be the number one pick in the draft someday. And then the very next game you'd go, why do you have three rebounds? You know, like what happened there? Like he was not consistently awesome and overwhelming the way he should have been, the way his ability allows him to be on the grassroots circuit. But I will say, and I know the competition in 2/3 of the games were very, very bad. But my main takeaway from watching Wiseman play three college basketball games was that he was physically overwhelming for other college basketball players. I know the competition was what it was, but like I'll put it this way: he looked different. He looked different. And by the way, when we're talking about why aren't you overwhelming grassroots teams? Like grassroots teams are largely low major basketball teams or mid major basketball teams. Yeah. I just as someone who watched James Wiseman a lot while he was in high school and watched him three times in college, I have real questions about him about a lot of things. But I was blown away by how physically imposing he was in, yes, just those three college basketball games.
He stepped onto the court for Memphis in November of last year and was ready to go. And I think some of that was also obvious motivation due to his circumstances at the time. We're talking about a player who, before they played against South Carolina State in an all-time Memphis moment, was literally in a courthouse seeking an injunction like 60 minutes, 45 minutes before that game tipped. And sure enough, he got it. He got over to the arena. That's a whole other kettle of fish. It's something that Paris has obviously written about plenty on the site and is, frankly, will be radio fodder for his show deep into the rest of this year, if not next year. But I do think that was a factor in how good he was. And, you know, it's frustrating in retrospect that – and I know I'm preaching to the choir, but like I really wish we would have been able to see what Memphis was with this kid last year, with this grown man, I should say. I mean, he looked fantastic from the outset, but I would have liked to have seen how he would have done, suspension or no suspension, you know, if he had been able to return and play, you know, in the AAC, how he would have done and how he would have held up game over game. And if we could have even gotten, you know, Parrish, if we could have gotten 12 or 13 games, just a little bit more, we don't have that. And it wouldn't, I have him third because I think that's what his ceiling is in terms of an NBA player in the context of this draft class. I do get the sense that he is going to, you mentioned the number one pick that needs to be reinforced here. There is absolutely a chance James Wiseman goes number one. I mean, we're only four players into this draft profile series, and he is the final one that, in our opinions, really has any sort of realistic chance to be taken first overall. His lack of college inventory may wind up suiting him well because he looked great for three games, and he's been consistently working out. He got a head start on the rest of the class, Parrish, with the exception of maybe LaMelo Ball, and even with LaMelo because he got injured. But he could have never foreseen the fact that head start, it did basically no good because now everyone's waiting all the way until October until they get drafted. But I do think that him going top three is highly likely. If he went outside the top three, I wouldn't be stunned. I'm not seeing that happen unless you have teams that land one, two, and three that do not have and don't think that they'll have via trades any kind of need for the type of skill set that Wiseman would bring as a five.
I think that's right. I think for more than any other player, how the lottery unfolds will impact James Wiseman. Because somebody might win the lottery that just says, you know, you follow the NFL closely. There are some franchises that if you told them, I think Barry Sanders is available in this draft, they'd be like, well, we're not taking him with a top three pick. You know, like there are just some franchises just say, we're not going to spend that kind of pick on a running back. There are some NBA franchises now that just say, we're not going to spend that type of pick on a center and only a center. In given the way basketball is played, given that, you know, centers get played off the court all the time in high stakes basketball games. I will say the issues that some traditional centers have getting played off the court because they can't switch onto smaller players and they can't guard in space. I don't think that's really going to be a problem for James Wiseman. He is an incredible athlete. And so I like runs incredibly well. I think he is going to be the type of traditional center who doesn't get run off the court, but still it's going to be an issue for some franchises. Again, more than anybody else, he needs the lottery to break in his favor. And if it does, you know, if certain franchises get the number one pick, he'll be the number one pick in the draft. But if a different franchise gets the number one pick, he could slip to 2, 3, 4. I don't know how you get him outside of that, really. But he could slip based on the lottery. You mentioned you would have loved to have seen what Memphis was with Wiseman playing. Obviously, I would have loved to have seen that as well, because I've always thought the criticism directed at Penny Hardaway and Memphis in general over this past season was wildly misguided. With James Wiseman playing, I think they'd have been one of the best teams in the country. And what would James Wiseman have been? Right there with Obi Toppin as one of the best players in the country. I really do believe James Wiseman would have been a first-team All-American. He was one of, again, small sample size, but there were only two freshmen who averaged a double-double in college basketball in 2019-20. James Wiseman was one of them. Trivia time! Do you know who the other one was?
It's got to be Precious Achiuwa, his teammate.
It was. Now, think about that front court. Who would have had a more talent? Mm. But by the way, if you call Precious Achiuwa a lottery pick, and he could go back in the lottery. He could slip right out of the lottery. He's going to go in the top 20. Memphis would have been the only team in the country with two lottery picks. The best front court in America with Precious Achiuwa and James Wiseman. Now, both of their stats would have come down a little bit playing with each other. Like, Precious probably doesn't average a double-double playing with James Wiseman. But, like, that's why, you know, you look at Memphis's opening night roster. The three best players are James Wiseman, Precious Achiuwa, and DJ Jeffries. James Wiseman is gone week before Christmas. DJ Jeffries, season-ending knee injury the last week of January. You take those dudes, put them on that team. I do believe that Memphis was could have been one of the best teams in the country, and I do think James Wiseman would have been a legitimate National Player of the Year candidate.
All right, so get this. So James Wiseman last season, in just three games, so it's just three games, but his offensive rating per KenPom was 140.8, which is 140.8 is if you're at 120, you're amazing. 140.8 is stupid. It was the best in college. Obviously, he didn't play enough games to qualify, but it was 140.8 was by far the best O rating in college hoops last season. The next closest players were in the 134, 133, 130 range. A bunch of guys that you wouldn't know. Actually, Sean McDermott at Butler was the fourth best. He was 129.9. And Sean McDermott, for the diehards that obviously know, he was a senior. He shot 39% from three, took 163. He was a three-point shooter. Usually, if you're high in offensive rating, it's because you are a long-distance shooter, because you get your rating goes up. The more threes you make, the more efficient player you are. Wiseman's not that. So it says something about how damn good he was, not being a long-distance shooter and having a 140.8 O rating in three games. That's absurd. Real quick, GP. Here's what I want to do. I want to look at the past four drafts in the lottery at centers that were taken, and you just tell me. Let's just go rapid fire. You just tell me if you think James Wiseman will have a better, even, or worse career than these centers, okay? And I'm going off of Wikipedia and where they're designated, all right?
Go.
All right. Last year, Jackson Hayes was the only center taken in the lottery.
Better career than Jackson Hayes.
2 years ago, you had DeAndre Ayton at one. Better, even, worse.
DeAndre Ayton's pretty great. He's really good.
I agree.
I'll take DeAndre Ayton just because he's already obviously very good in the NBA. Whereas with Wiseman, you do have some question marks. I'll take the what we know over the what we don't know.
I would agree with that. Now, the 2018 draft had three centers go in the lottery. You had Mohamed Bamba at six. What about that? What about Bamba?
I really like Bamba coming out of college. He certainly hasn't. Made the impact that DeAndre Ayton has made, or even Jaren Jackson Jr. has made. But, yeah, I'll take Wiseman over Bamba, sure.
I think I would take Bamba because I still like Bamba's defensive upside more long-term, but it's close. And then the other center that was taken is Wendell Carter.
I'll take Wiseman over Carter.
I would take Wiseman as well. The only center...
By the way, Jaren Jackson Jr. is going to eventually be a center in the NBA.
Yeah, he wasn't listed as that, but...
Right.
On that, we both, okay, real quick on that. Let's just quick off-ramp and then get back on the highway. We were both sellers on Jaren Jackson Jr. I admit that I was wrong selling to the point that I did. I assume you agree.
I was wrong. Yeah. Now, to the extent that I was wrong, I never said he's a bum. I just said the Grizzlies are picking fourth. I would not take him fourth. Here's what I said. I said I would take Trae Young. Now, we can debate that, but like Trae Young's already an all-star and Jaren Jackson isn't.
Right.
Now, the argument the Grizzlies fans who want to argue about this would say, well, if we had Trae Young, then we don't draft Ja Morant. And would you rather have Trae Young and somebody else or Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr.? And I say that's got nothing to do with what you should have done on the night of the 2018 NBA draft. So I might have been wrong on Jaren Jackson to the extent that he's better than I thought he would be. He is better than I thought he would be. And I would keep him under these circumstances. But like, it wasn't like I said, don't take Jaren Jackson, take some bum instead. I said, take Trae Young. Trae Young went right behind him. I said, take Trae Young, and Trae Young's already an all-star.
I agree with you. All right, the other players we're looking at here, 2017, only one center. He was listed as kind of a combo. Zach Collins went 10th in 2017.
I'll take James Wiseman.
So would I. Zach Collins, his career. Zach Collins has been solid, but this is, let's just do it. Before we get out of here, let's just remind people again, when we talk about lottery picks, I think sometimes people get carried away with this notion. Zach Collins has been a solid player, and he's averaging 7.5 points and 6.3 rebounds. He's a Jag, which is fine. Just keep this stuff in mind, particularly when we get to guys, as we get to like 7, 8, 9, 10 on this draft profile series. 7.5 points, 6.3 rebounds for Zach Collins. The only two other players from 2016, Jakob Poeltl, averaging a smooth 5.6 points, 5.7 rebounds. I don't think we need to expound on that. We would both take Wiseman. And then Giorgio Papagiannis. I don't even think he's in the league at this point, but I am no NBA expert. He went 13th as a center in that draft. So, yeah, Wiseman over him as well.
In fairness to Zach Collins, how many points are you supposed to average when Damian Lillard scores all of them?
And it's just it's an awesome story. Damian, that is just incredible. He is so much fun to watch.
Trivia time.
Yeah, go ahead.
Who wrote the first national column on Damian Lillard?
I believe that was Jeff Goodman.
No, you out of your mind? No, Jeff Goodman ranked the assistant coaches from Damian Lillard's league.
That's correct.
I actually wrote the first column on Damian Lillard.
Yeah, I was I shadowed Damian Lillard the day before and throughout the entire NBA draft. In fact, the year that Lillard was drafted, which I believe is 2012, they was in Jersey that year, and all the players would stay in Manhattan. They'd get on a bus and then go to the Izod Center, I guess it was. And there was like a huge fire crash on one of the roadways that gets you from Manhattan down to Jersey. And so let's say the draft was scheduled to start. The broadcast starts at 7:30 or whatever. Normally the players get there at about 6:30-ish. At about 7:10, Damian Lillard texts me and says, we're stuck on the highway. There's cops all around. There's a fire. Don't know if we're going to be able to get there on time. They eventually did. But the cool thing about Lillard is there was a lot of rumors when he got drafted about who would take him. And he was very tight-lipped, was awesome to deal with. It's on a personal note, it's been awesome to see him be as good as he has. But Damian knew where he was going, because when he got picked, after he got picked, he dipped back into the bowels of the arena and he lifted up his legs and he showed me that he had Portland Trailblazer red socks on. So he had that guarantee going in, which was awesome. And he's turned into just an all-time player in that city, and it's really cool to see what he's been able to do. And I hope they get the 8 seed and we get to see him play in the playoffs.
Hey. You meant to say you hope the Grizzlies get the 8 seed.
I did not. I mean,
here's the truth. Like, listen, I want good things for the Grizzlies, but since they got to the bubble, they lost two starters to season-ending injuries, Jaren Jackson and Justice Winslow, and they lost their backup point guard, Tyus Jones. If they get to the playoffs, they're just going to get swept by the Lakers and lose each game by 25 points. As a basketball fan, there's nothing better than Damian Lillard against the Lakers in the first round of the playoffs. I don't know that Portland could win it, but Lillard against our king would be something to watch. Let's get back to Wiseman real quick. You and I both agree he's an incredible talent and physically overwhelming. He is going to be able to rim protect. I do think he can step away from the basket, knock down a shot. He runs the floor amazingly well. He dunks everything around the rim. The physical stuff, from my perspective, the basketball stuff, from my perspective, is not even worth debating. We can talk about the value of a center in the modern NBA, but if you value that position at all, Like, it's clear he's the best one available. It's not even close. I think if you told me he's a 7-time All-Star, that would not surprise me at all. I don't question the basketball stuff at all. I do question the other stuff because, like we pointed out, whether you want to say he left the program or, as I put it, quit the team, he did walk away. And I know that some people understood it and rationalized it, but what I'm about to tell you is true. He is the first healthy basketball player, in, as far as I know, in history, to ever, quote, quit his team midseason to, quote, prepare for the NBA draft. And obviously he does it under unusual circumstances. He was serving a suspension handed down by the NCAA. If Memphis would have just set him at the beginning of the season, it would have been a 9-game suspension. And I really do think James Wiseman would have set that suspension and then played, but they just messed the whole thing up in a variety of ways. But in talking to people around that program, they had some real questions about James Wiseman. Why did you walk away from the people you called your brothers when they so badly needed you? Because you just contrast it to the year before. Zion Williamson actually got hurt midseason, blew his shoe out, suffered a knee injury, and there were people, prominent people, telling Zion Williamson, you need to stop playing at Duke, stop playing college basketball. You're already the number one pick. You don't do this for nothing anymore and risk injury. And Zion Williamson scoffed at that. He said, there is no scenario where I would quit on my brothers. There is no scenario where I would walk away from the opportunity to go to a Final Four, win a national championship, and be the national player of the year. So you can't say that anybody in James Wiseman's position would have done what he did, because Zion Williamson was more or less in a similar position and he didn't do it, even when people were telling me he should. And yet Wiseman walked away. And I was told that there was a time in December, let's just say, where Wiseman and Lester Quinones, a fellow freshman at Memphis, were both sidelined. Wiseman by the NCAA, Quinones by an injury. And I was told that every day in practice, Quinones was on the side of the court. He was getting water for his teammates. He was cheering for his teammates. He was present and vocal and working. And Wiseman was nowhere to be found. And he got detached. And then he ultimately quit in a way that, listen, time can heal a lot of things. So he might be cool with some of those guys now. But at the time, they were wildly disappointed in him. They didn't understand why he did what he did. They didn't like how he did it. They didn't like why they thought he did it. And especially for somebody like Precious Achiuwa. Precious Achiuwa is not from Memphis. And, I don't know why he ultimately decided to enroll at Memphis, but one of the reasons he said he did is because James Wiseman committed to Memphis and then started recruiting him with the idea being, I'm going to be the 5, you're going to be the 4, let's go win a national championship. So then Wiseman quits, and guess who's got to play out of position all year long? Precious Achiuwa. Now, you can argue it was awesome for Achiuwa because he was great, statistically incredible, and he's still going to be a top 20 pick in the NBA draft. But just trust me when I tell you, Precious Achiuwa did not like playing center. That was never the plan. It only became his reality because of what James Wiseman did. And I have had NBA people reach out to me and say, what's he made of? Does he love it the way he needs to love it? What makes him quit the way he quit? And that is something he's going to have to, and I'm sure he already has, he's going to have to address with NBA franchises, because it is at least a question that some of them have.
I think you said it all there, man. The only thing I'll add before we wrap is that the fact that his coach has plenty of longstanding active ties in the NBA, and normally when you have general managers, associate GMs and scouts, tap coaching staffs and head coaches to get intel, I'd love to know what Penny Hardaway is really and truly has said to inquiring parties over the past weeks and months about James Wiseman. I don't know how much impact that ultimately will have on where he does or doesn't get drafted. We both think he'll go definitely in the top 5 and certainly a strong chance to be in the top 3. But the stuff that GP just laid out is unquestionably going to be factored in and could well wind up being the difference. A team might want to take him number one, but says, you know what, we'd rather take a chance on LaMelo Ball, or you know what, we have more faith in Anthony Edwards' character, et cetera, et cetera. We wait to see.
I did have one NBA person tell me, like, listen, this is something they're concerned about, like, and they'll ask all the questions. And this person doesn't work for a franchise that's going to be picking in the Wiseman range. So it's like irrelevant to him in reality. But he was like, listen, I can't tell you whether James Wiseman loves it or not. I can't tell you what his mindset is. I can't tell you necessarily what motivates him. But like, he is so physically gifted that he'll make $100 million no matter what. Like, what this person said to me was, Andre Drummond doesn't love it. And I want to be clear, I don't know Andre Drummond at all, but this person works in the NBA, and this person said Andre Drummond does not love it, but he's just so physically gifted that he's got a job forever. And he said, at worst, that's what Wiseman is. Not comparing him as a player to Andre Drummond, but he's so naturally gifted and physically overwhelming that even if he's not wired like, we'll circle this back, like Damian Lillard, like, even if he's not a straight killer, he's just so physically overwhelming and gifted that he'll be in the NBA for 10 years and make a bazillion dollars. Like, that's the floor for James Wiseman. He has a pretty high floor at a position that, as we've noted, is less valuable than it's ever been. Shouts to Devin Downey. Shouts to Chester, South Carolina. Shouts to Terry, MF, and Teagle. Legend. Shouts to Larnell, and thank you for listening once again to the Ion College Basketball Podcast in the middle of a pandemic. If you enjoy it, please tell one person about it. If you're not subscribed, please go subscribe anywhere you subscribe to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts. I'd appreciate it. Norlander would appreciate it. So please go do that, and we will talk to you again really soon. Till then, take care.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.